and welcome to episode 142 of Connectivity. I'm Scott Thompson. Today we just have two segments for you. Kicking the show off, myself and Alex sit down to talk about all the exciting news from this week, including Smash Brothers, NPD stuff, as well as the new Club Nintendo rewards that everyone hates. And after that, Neil, Zach, and Curtis get together to do a sort of retrospective on Tamagotchi Life now that we're a couple months out from its launch. Enjoy.
Hey everybody, and welcome to a brand new segment of Nintendo World Report Connectivity. I am your host tonight, Alex Kulafi, and joining me is, as usual, Scott Thompson.
Hello!
Hi, Scott. So, we got a pretty basic segment for you today. Three important news stories that all went down over the last 5 days or so. I think, even though there are only three news stories, we're going to get some good discussion out of this, because Nintendo had a little stream thing on, I think, Monday, where they revealed three new playable Smash Brothers characters. That is Robin, the protagonist from Fire Emblem Awakening, Lucina, who was kind of, even though she wasn't Marth, and even though she kind of pretended to be Marth, she was pretty much the game's Marth.
Mm-hmm.
And Captain Falcon are all coming to Smash Bros. Lucina seems to be a faster Marth. Her fast stab reminded me a bit of Meta Knight, though I am certainly no Smash expert.
Mm.
Robin attacks using tomes that appear to be limited use, and he has his sword.
Yeah, that's the way they made it sound, was yeah, that after so many uses, he'd have to just focus purely on his sword.
Yep. And you can be female Robin, which is part of the Smash Bros. Thing. Like, if there's a female version, they'll put it in. And, Crom, he's not playable like the leak originally suggested, but he is part of Lucina's final Smash, so he's kind of in the game.
Yeah, it's just so weird.
What do you take away from this, as not a Fire Emblem expert necessarily, but as the guy who reviewed Fire Emblem Awakening, what do you think of there being so many representatives from Fire Emblem?
Yeah, like, once they revealed that, who's back in it from Fire Emblem, there's
Marth and Ike.
Marth and Ike, that's right. Once they kind of just revealed those two, I was like, well, maybe we're not going to get any, like, Awakening representation at all. And that didn't really bother me one way or the other, but I thought, well, if you're gonna put anyone in, why wouldn't you put the new characters from this, like, hugely successful game, both here in North America and in Japan? Like, I really feel like Awakening has sort of revitalized the Fire Emblem series, especially over here in North America. I mean, I don't know that anyone really knows Marth and Ike so much. Marth, maybe, but not Ike. Outside of just them being in other Smash Brothers games. So, yeah, then we get this trailer, and we get two new Fire Emblem characters, and then also a third one who sort of just makes a special appearance. I'm surprised, but I like it. I it's just crazy. I mean, imagine if this is like a precedent where now, like, every game is going to get like two or three characters. I mean, how many characters are we up to now in Smash? It's over 30, isn't
we're
it?
We're probably like up to around 35, because there were three today, and there were a few over E3.
Yeah, so I mean, like, how many more are we going to get? You know, I mean, is this roster going to hit 50? I don't know.
That's actually, I'm slightly worried about that, because not only is Sakurai saying that he's close to the end in newcomer videos, but apparently KoroKoro magazine in Japan is going to reveal the full roster next month,
yeah.
Which makes me think that maybe they don't give a fuck about unlockables. Maybe they're just going to, they're going to pull a Street Fighter 4 and just be like, here's what you got. You don't need to unlock really any of them. And then that's Smash Bros. I don't know. It's a little sad to me that they're just putting everything on the line. Like, I feel like Robin or Lucina could have been a fun unlockable that we didn't know about before
mm-hmm.
launch.
Mm-hmm.
But
I'm like of two minds about it. I'm like, you know, like, I mean, I know we've talked about this before, specifically me and you, Alex, because I know, like, you're kind of down on the whole,
like, let me unlock
I wouldn't call it spoilers, but I would call it, like, not leaving any surprises, I guess.
Right.
And I think with Mario Kart, that was kind of unfortunate. Like, it would have been cool to unlock the Koopalings and stuff. But with this, like a fighting game, I mean, how many people are going to pick this up and want to immediately jump online or play with their friends? And, I mean, do you really want to go through this process of unlocking all these characters? Yeah, it's a cool reward to find something you didn't know was there, but I mean, isn't it nice also to just have the roster there so you can immediately start playing with the characters you want to play with rather than having to, like, you know, play 100 hours to unlock Mewtwo or whatever, you know, or any other, requirement you have to fulfill before you get to play as these characters, especially when you already know that they're in there.
You're right, but, like, and this could be just me, but I kind of like a little bit of a grind in unlocking things in video games because it makes me feel like I earned something.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in Mewtwo, like, maybe you can say, I'm not you specifically, but maybe someone can say, like, oh, that was so dumb how you had to plug in 4 controllers for 20 hours or 80 hours with 1 controller in multiplayer or whatever. But I kind of like that in a video game. I kind of like that it makes you do this weird, crazy stuff that ultimately results in a really cool reward, like Mewtwo, like one of the most highly wanted returning characters,
yeah,
to the new Smash Bros, who, by the way, definitely won't be in the new game. But I kind of like that whole thing of just make me do a bit of stupid stuff, make there be a bit of a grind, and make me feel like I earned this cool character.
You know, I agree with that to a point if it comes naturally from playing the game, even if you do have to play the game for, you know, quite some time. But I know there were so many unlocks tied to just playing for a while that people would just, you know, like, start a match and leave it on overnight and then come back and then they would unlock the character. And I think it's that kind of stuff that Nintendo's looking at and going, okay, well, that's not how we want to have people unlock characters. You know, what's the point of that? If it doesn't kind of come organically from playing the game, you know, if people are treating it just like a hurdle or just like an inconvenience to unlock these characters, then I do think it gets kind of pointless. So I don't know. Yeah. I'm of two minds. I think too, it kind of depends what you want from Smash. And with the new one being, you know, hopefully having a much better online mode, I'm okay with everything being available from the start, but I could see, like, if you're going to treat it almost, I don't know how you could really treat it as a purely single player experience, but if that's where you're coming from, that you just want to go through, you know, all the single player stuff, then I get that you really want there to be rewards for it. You know, like going through the Subspace Emissary, it was cool that you unlocked characters as you went through because it felt like you were making progress then. But if you're coming in, it's straight to just start playing competitively. I mean, you want that roster there.
At the end of the day, I will at least put a little bit of faith in Nintendo that if they're... So here's the difference between this and Super Mario 3D World. In Super Mario 3D World, they really, really, really wanted to sell that game hard, so they spoiled things that were actively unlockable. In this game, if they just have every character unlocked to begin with, there's a part of me that thinks maybe there will be a cool substitute for this. Maybe there will be really cool modes that you unlock in the same way you would have unlocked those characters.
There's trophies and stuff too, you know, that you unlock.
That's you could have did that. You could have done that a long time ago.
I know. I mean, those aren't. Yeah, that's neither here
nor
there.
I hope it's more than just trophies. I mean, we'll see when the game comes out in a couple months, but. I don't know. That's one thing that maybe bums me out a little.
I mean, the series is well known for, like, having some sort of crazy thing unlock at some point. So I wouldn't be surprised if there are characters we don't know about. I just don't think it's going to be quite as many as before. I don't think it's going to be the thing where you start with, like, a roster of 10 characters and then eventually, you know, it doubles as you're unlocking. But I wouldn't be surprised if there's some hidden gems we don't know about. It just seems like there will be.
I wonder what that game's going to look like by the time it comes out. Because to me, based on the stuff they've shown, I wasn't there at that hour-long presentation, but based on the stuff I read about it, based on the stuff they've revealed, I don't think this is going to be as expansive as Brawl was in content. I think there will be less content in this game significantly than there was in Brawl. But my hope is that it's better content regardless.
Well, yeah, I mean, like I said, as long as the online mode works, like, right there, that's already better than, like, any of the, yeah, like, single-player content. Like, that's what I want. I want to be able to play with you guys. I want to be able to play with, you know, listeners and readers from Nintendo World Report. Like, that's what I want, is to be able to really, like, play Smash Brothers Kind of like I'm playing Mario Kart now, where I can just always jump online and be playing with people. So as long as that's there, yeah, I'm not really too much worried about, sort of like superfluous modes and stuff that don't really matter. Like, I don't need to hit a big giant bag with a baseball bat to see how far I can make it go. Like, I don't want to be doing that anymore. I just want to be fighting.
Sure. also about Smash Brothers, I also wanted to ask your thoughts on Lucina being her own character. I understand Nintendo wants to put as many unique females into the roster as possible, and that's fine. But I still feel Lucina probably should have shared a character slot with Marth. Like, it doesn't even have to be Marth with Lucina as an alternate. It could have just been, like, the box split down the middle.
Mm.
Like, for a swordswoman and a swordsman who don't necessarily have many real magical abilities like Robin would, all Lucina probably is going to have is speed and a couple of unique moves. I feel like it's a little pointless to give her and Marth two different slots.
Right, they're almost like identical
and
characters.
Ike too.
Well, that's the thing, and this has been in the past even. Like, I feel like all the Fire Emblem characters have sort of been variations on the same character. You know, Marth and Ike, they have different speeds, but to me, not being wholly familiar with those characters, they've always just kind of felt like samey to me. And I didn't really understand, yeah, why we needed two Fire Emblem characters, let alone now three that are virtually, the same. Yeah, I don't know. It is a weird choice. And that, I mean, especially considering Awakening had such a great roster, it is kind of weird they went with another character from Awakening that's virtually the same. I'm glad Robin's there, because Robin seems entirely unique. I mean, like we said, using the tomes, the fact that they appear to be limited, so then she switches from, like, a ranged, or he or she, depending what gender you want to play, but switch from, like, ranged magic user to sword user. I think that's really cool, and I'm excited about that. But, yeah, no, that the Lucina reveal didn't really wow me either way.
Yeah. I don't know. This news story basically just tells me that Fire Emblem Awakening was a bigger deal than I thought it was.
Oh, yeah.
I loved Fire Emblem Awakening. It's one of my favorite 3DS games. But I didn't think it would be that big of a deal.
Yeah, I thought we'd get one character. I thought it would just be,
Crom.
Crom, yeah. I thought it would be that, and that would be it. So, it's exciting to see. But I'm a little surprised, too. I really am. But, you know, the more the merrier. It seems like there's nothing holding them back now with this roster. So I don't see this as, like, taking up a spot for another character or something. So, yeah, I say go for it.
Sure.
But watching the actual little, like, reveal video, I still can't believe they're putting all this production into these, like, reveal trailers. Like, I keep thinking these have to be in the actual game.
Well, I think they're doing this instead of doing cutscenes in a Subspace Emissary mode.
But it just feels like they would be in the game as well. I mean, like, the production is just insane, and it feels like it's the Subspace Emissary. You know, you have these, like, random Nintendo characters sort of talking about how they have to defeat each other and stuff. It feels like the Subspace Emissary. I don't know, so it's just surprising. But I really do enjoy them. They're great. They're just a lot of fun to watch. This, and then the Kid Icarus one at E3 was really great, too, with that, like, anime style, so I don't know. It's really fun. It's fun that they're doing it this way. You know, if they're going to spoil all the characters, I like that it's coming in this, like, unique way that I think really appeals to fans of, like, Nintendo's history. It's awesome.
Yeah. At the very least, I will concede that they have been extremely cool video reveals for what they were.
Right. Yeah. It's not just like, you know, it's not just like every week Nintendo's Twitter account is, like, tweeting the new character that's there. You know, they're really putting a lot into it, and I think that's great. It makes it fun. It's like an event. I mean, Monday was crazy following along on Twitter and just how excited everyone was. So it's cool.
Alrighty. So, next up, we got the June NPDs hot off the presses. They were revealed last night. This is a very significant month because it is the first full month that Mario Kart has been out. Last month's NPDs, even though Mario Kart got second place,
yeah. It
had only been on sale for a few days at that point.
A weekend, yeah.
So this month we're going to see a much bigger time frame. We're going to see 30 days of Wii U sales and Mario Kart sales. And the biggest thing that was surprising to me was that Mario Kart actually sold more in those 3 days than it did this month.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that's bad or anything. Mario Kart also pulled second place this month behind Watch Dogs, which isn't surprising because Watch Dogs launched on 5 platforms.
Well, yeah, technically Mario Kart was first if you split up the SKUs. I don't know if you saw that.
Right, if you do one platform counting as one, Mario Kart would have been first place.
Yeah, sold more than any, like, individual platform for Watch Dogs, yeah.
And, it sold 470,000 units, physical plus digital, and that is 885, life to date. Actually, no, it must have sold slightly more.
Yeah, but it was still almost 50-50, yeah.
Right.
But and, yeah, so it's almost already hit him in like a month and a weekend. It's already almost hit 1 million in North America alone. So that's pretty impressive.
Mario Kart's doing real well. It did earn second place. The Wii U sold 140,000 units, which doesn't sound that great compared to PS4's reported 270,000 and Xbox One's 197,000. But the cool thing about 140K is that now it's actually competitive. Now it's actually, like, almost part of a threesome with the other two consoles.
Right, like, it's close. It's, like, it's within, I mean, maybe, you know, PS4 is kind of out there. That seems like kind of the runaway winner right now, early on. But the fact that it's close to Xbox One is pretty impressive. And I think a lot of Nintendo naysayers and, like, all these people who, you know, talk about games saving the Wii U and that it's doomed and everything like that, I think it's impressive that it's gotten that close, that it is competitive.
Even if it's a comfortable third place right now, you can at least call it third place, and, like, completely unironically, and,
right,
like, without any snickering behind it. Wii U is now a competitor, and we'll see how that goes, because there's no games coming out between Mario Kart and Hyrule Warriors, so we'll see if Mario Kart completely carries its momentum throughout the summer. But if this is a trend of what's to come, the console war might be turning into more of a console war now.
Yeah, no, I think it's exciting. And, I mean, most of the, you know, PS4 and Xbox One, I don't think really have anything coming until Destiny in September, you know, either. So I think there's a summer lull here for everybody. So I think you'll see Mario Kart continue to succeed. I think it'll stay in the top 10 the next couple months. I think it'll stay in the top 10 throughout the rest of the year, honestly, but it'll stay near the top here. And, yeah, I think you'll see Wii U continue to move, especially since there's going to be a lull. And I don't really expect Hyrule Warriors to do too much, in terms of, like, boosting sales. It's going to be when Smash Brothers comes, late this year, hopefully late this year, hopefully not early next year.
Actually, we'll see how that does on the NPDs because, it's technically two different games, emphasizing the technically between Super Smash Bros. Wii U and Super Smash Bros. 3DS. So I think on the NPDs, it would be considered two completely different categories.
Oh, it will. Yeah. No, it's not like Watch Dogs, yeah, where it's, like, gonna be combined. I mean, the fact that they come out months apart, and, I mean, they're, you know, it's not like it's Wii U or PS4 and Xbox One. I mean, I think there's a fair amount of difference between 3DS and Wii U, so I imagine they'll be split up.
I wonder if one audience is going to cannibalize the other a bit. Like, I wonder if the 3DS sales are going to be limited by the Wii U's and vice versa.
I was worried about that, and I mean, that's exactly how I was going to be. If they had launched at the same time or relatively, you know, close to each other, I wasn't going to buy the 3DS version. Because, I mean, I want it on my TV, I want it in gorgeous HD, you know. The 3DS version looks fine for what it is, but that's not where I want to be playing Smash. But if it's out 3 months before the Wii U version and I'm seeing everybody else playing it, am I going to be able to resist picking it up? I, you know, probably not. So I think it's a right, smart move to split it up and to put 3DS first, because once you've got the Wii U version, why would you want to go, I don't want to call it a downgrade, but why would you want to go to the 3DS version unless you just really prefer playing games on your 3DS?
Sure. Some other interesting numbers. Tamagotchi Life actually made it into the top 10 this month.
Yeah. It, 170, something like that.
175 retail plus digital. That is very, good. That means that no matter what, we are probably going to get Tamagotchi Life 2 in some form in the next few years whenever another one of those games comes out.
Yeah.
And we'll see if Nintendo can handle that situation a little better.
I think they will. I think it'll be improved next time. But yeah, no, I think that's really impressive for, I mean, what's a new IP here in North America, and you know, it's just sort of this quirky little life sim. I think that's cool. I mean, and especially given the controversy that it did kind of garner, but maybe the controversy helped. I mean, how many people only heard about the game because of the controversy, you know?
All news is good news.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, I guess so.
And then I also got a few life-to-date numbers for a few Wii U games from the last 12 months. And I got three Wii U games right here. The Wonderful 101, Donkey Kong Country, Tropical Freeze, and Wii Fit U. How about we play a little game where you guess the number, and I will tell you how close you got.
For lifetime sales? Okay, that sounds good. All right. Where do you want to start?
The Wonderful 101.
220,000.
Not even close.
No.
It's actually, you know what? I'll give you one more.
All right. Oh, man. Not even close. 105,000.
Closer. 83K in the U.S.
Okay. Not good.
Yeah, it's the Wonderful 101, I think, deserves slightly higher sales than that. Some people are, like, proudly calling it one of the best games they ever played. So, and this is basically Nintendo's tearaway, and that they put a lot of faith into this really creative game that no one wanted.
Yeah.
Tearaway got, like, 63K, I think.
Oof.
Donkey Kong Country Tropical Freeze.
Oh, and I want to set my expectations lower. I came out too high on, Wonderful 101. I mean, obviously Donkey Kong would do better. I will say 190,000.
Higher.
Oof. Let's say 275.
Extremely close. 285.
285, okay.
And that's reasonable. Came out in February. It's on the Wii U, so
yeah.
If it was a Wii game, it would have did a little better. That's not terrible. It'll probably sell for throughout the lifespan.
Well, honestly, I think it'll pick up now as people are, you know, getting Wii U's for Mario Kart and then eventually Smash. I mean, that's the good thing, is that I think games like this and Mario 3D World, they're sort of evergreen, and I think they'll kind of continue to go as more and more people get the system.
True that. And our last game, Wii Fit U. Remember that it was basically given away for almost free.
Yeah.
For a time.
It's given away in, like, a variety of ways, though. It's such and a weird game.
It's been, like, 5 or 6 months. I think the promotion stopped in, like, January or December.
It was January, I'm pretty sure.
So we've had a few months of sales since then.
Oh, man. I'm trying to think. I feel like it wasn't anywhere near... Well, it obviously wasn't anywhere near what Wii Fit did, just because not everyone had a Wii, like... Or a Wii U, like they did the Wii. Oh, man. I'm going to say... 210.
Nope!
Is it way more? Or way
nope.
less? Oh, it's way less? Oh, God. What is it?
It sold worse than Tearaway.
Oh, my God. Really? Now, would this include, like, the basically free versions? Do you know?
I don't even know how accurate these numbers are because they came out of, NPD leak.
Okay.
But these seem really accurate for
okay.
what they are. And, like, most of the people on NeoGAF seem to treat them as fact. So, let's say, assuming these are fact, and 60k for Tearaway and 83k for Wonderful 101 sounds accurate, take a guess at how Wii Fit U sold. 48,000 copies.
48, okay. Yeah, I'd be interested to see, though, if that does include the fact that if you bought the Fit Meter, you got the game for free, because that then would be, what, a download code, right? So it might
it
not...
It had to have.
So it wouldn't show up on NPDs, right?
No. It certainly, if the download code's counted, my guess is this would be closer to 300,000.
Okay. So that's just strictly individual
it has
sales.
To be.
Yeah.
There's no way 48,000 people redeemed that, and bought it total in the
yeah,
U.S. That doesn't make sense to me.
No, yeah.
So, Wii Fit U, maybe say bye to that franchise for a while.
Well, we don't know. Like I said, a lot of people still have the balance boards maybe sitting around. I mean, maybe people did do the Fit Meter promotion. I don't know.
Actually, yeah. I wonder how that sold.
Like the Fit Meter specifically? Yeah. I mean, they haven't really talked about it. I feel like if it sold well, Nintendo would have touted it at some point. So
yeah, I don't think it would have been brag-worthy, but maybe it would have been 248K instead of 48K.
Yeah, I don't know. But either way, yeah, I don't think that was, I don't think that did what they were hoping it would do.
And we got one more story today. The Club Nintendo Gold and Platinum Elite Status gifts were announced on the night of the 15th, early 16th, July 16th. And these are interesting prizes because, for the first time, there is no physical platinum or gold reward. All the rewards are digital. And if you are interested in any of the following games I'm about to list, you can claim them until 11:59 p.m. PT on August 15th. So, if you are a platinum member, which means you earned 600 coins during the year, even if you spent some, you just earned 600 cumulatively. Platinum, Game & Wario, NES Remix, Earthbound, Dr. Luigi, Donkey Kong Country Returns 3D, Fluidity Spin Cycle, Dylan's Rolling Western, and Mario and Donkey Kong Minis on the Move, which I think is the new 3DS game.
Mm-hmm.
If you are gold, which means you earned 300 cumulatively, and if you're platinum, you can choose one of these games instead, if you like. Ice Climber, Kid Icarus, Super Mario Bros., Zelda 2, Donkey Kong 3, Wario Land 2, Metroid, and Super Mario Land 2. 6 golden coins. Now let me tell you something, Scott. There is justification for people who want exclusive Nintendo goodies. If you wanted even a calendar, or you wanted something you couldn't get anywhere else other than this platinum reward, and you love physical stuff and you hate the concept of digital, like one Justin Berube,
mm-hmm.
I totally get it. However, if you're someone like me, who has kept Game & Wario in his Amazon wish list for the past 6 months, waiting for it to hit 20 or 15 bucks somehow, this was fantastic.
Yeah.
I was so happy to be able to get Game & Wario without having to spend any money on it. You reviewed Game & Wario. You gave it a 5.5. So did you end up giving it, did you end up taking Donkey Kong Country?
I don't even, mess around with Club Nintendo. I don't do it at all. So
really?
I'm not going to get anything. No, I've never, I don't know. Everyone just complains about it. Like, everyone complains about, A, I have to enter in codes and do the surveys. And then I feel like every time they announce new rewards, everyone just shits on it. And I'm just like, well, what's the point? I don't really care. I'm not like a collector. In fact, this might be the first time I'm interested in it because I get actual games, which is something I do want. So, you know, I still have all my Club Nintendo inserts from everything I bought and then, you know, everything I've downloaded. Would be tied to my account, so I might actually redeem the codes now, to maybe get a game, because there's a few on there, like, I don't have.
What are you looking at? Like, just if you had to pick one, what are you looking at?
Let's see, well, I don't have NES Remix, so that would probably be what I'd go with.
Mm-hmm.
Because everything else I do have, and I understand that's kind of the issue people are having, is that I don't think most sort of casual Wii U and 3DS owners would necessarily have, like, Fluidity and Dylan's Rolling Western. But, you know, Earthbound, Donkey Kong, even possibly Game & Wario.
Right.
You know, those are the kind of games people probably already do have. But a lot of people I saw complaining were, like, people who, either work for this site or, B, are just, like, ultra Nintendo fans. And it's like, well, yeah, naturally, this probably isn't going to really appeal to you.
You probably bought most of these games
right.
to earn the status in the first place.
Yeah, to try to get platinum in the first place. Yeah. So, you know, I kind of get that. And I think it's fine. I prefer games over, like, little tchotchkes that are just going to sit on my desk and then eventually I'll just throw away or put in a box or something. It feels more useful. I think it was JP, or maybe it was you, who kind of pointed this out. It would have been smarter, though, to have an option to just have eShop credit.
That must have been JP. That
okay.
Me.
To, you know, because if you already have all this, well, at least you can get like 10 or 20 bucks eShop credit and then just use it down the road on something else. I mean,
although,
that seems like it would be smart. It's getting people to, you know, to continue buying your product, even if they're not paying for it. They're still getting new things.
The thing with codes, though, is that I don't know if these are tracked to your Club Nintendo. I suspect they might be because Club Nintendo has cracked down on this in the past. But the cool thing about codes is that you can do a lot of cool things with them. You can trade them. Mm-hmm. You can do other things that are against the TOS that I won't point out. So I'm just saying, if it wasn't against the TOS, I'm recommending you don't do this, but if it wasn't against the TOS, and you got Game & Wario, I could see you probably getting maybe $15 for it.
Well, and on top of that, if you go ahead and redeem it yourself, I saw on Twitter that it actually counts to your Digital Deluxe promotion.
And I think that's worth 300 or 400 points.
Well, yeah, what is it? I think it's $40, so yeah.
But it might have gotten a price drop.
I don't know. I don't know if it did or not, but either way, I mean, yeah, that's going to get you almost right near your, you know, your $5 coupon. So that's pretty cool, too. Although then you get Game of Mario, which I think is a really bad game.
Do you really think it's really that bad? I've been playing it lately, and it could be our difference in perspective, because I usually hold one perspective when I get games for review, or I buy games, like I take a more critical
approach. Well, sure. I mean, here's the thing. If you're like, okay, I got this game for basically nothing, then, you know, there was no, like risk reward factor, right? It's all reward. Right. I mean, you got a game you wouldn't otherwise have. Even if it was on your wish list, you weren't going to buy it till it was super cheap. So for this, it's like, this is a bonus for you.
Right. So maybe I'm having more fun with it now than I would have if I spent 40 at launch it for review and I had to write a review on it.
Yeah.
But as it stands, I think that game has a really great personality. I think the music is awesome.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's funny, like other Wario games.
Oh, for sure. It has, like, all the, like, the character, like, all the extra elements that make WarioWare games great. But it's just, like, it's just not that fun. I mean, compared to other WarioWare games, I don't find the different, like, single-player modes all that interesting, save for maybe a few. And they're kind of like,
there are a few stinkers,
and they're kind of like one and done. I mean, once you play them once, it's all the same stuff. It's not like other, like the WarioWare micro games where as you're doing better and getting further along, you see new games and it gets harder. It's kind of all just the same stuff. I will say a few of the multiplayer modes are fun. The Pictionary game is actually probably the best thing, that WarioWare has going for it. So, like, you know, on the gamepad, it'll show you a word, and then you draw it, and on the screen, on the TV, people see what you're drawing, and then they try to guess, and you just try to get as many as you can in, like, 30 seconds or 60 seconds or something, and then it tracks everyone's scores. So, like, that's really cool. That was actually fun. But the rest of it, it just didn't do anything for me. It was just kind of bland, I thought.
All right.
I mean, it's fine for free. But yeah.
Right.
Not.
And out of all the games you can get, if you have none of these games, well, you should probably get Donkey Kong Country Returns 3D. But if you're choosing a game other than that and you have none of them, Game & Wario, I think, is pretty good for a free game. Because at the very least, it makes an effort to be reasonably fun at retail level. Like, it has more to it than any other game on this list outside of Donkey Kong.
Or Earthbound.
Actually, yeah, you're right, because that's got the VC whole thing.
Yeah, but I mean, obviously, you know, that appeals to a certain audience. I mean,
right.
And honestly, if you would like Earthbound, you probably already went ahead and downloaded it.
Sure.
Just because of the historic fact that it finally came to the American Virtual Console. But, I mean, Game of Mario is probably one of the, I mean, is sort of a mediocre game as I think it is. It's probably one of the better choices as far as, like, a free game goes. Like I said, especially if you have people to play with. I think it's a good multiplayer game. I imagine you've just been doing the single player, Alex, but...
Yeah, I've been doing the single player. I've been playing with the Miiverse stuff, which is totally great.
Yeah.
How, it basically makes you draw a word. You have 60 seconds to draw a ba-bomb or SpongeBob. And from memory, you have 60 seconds to draw SpongeBob. And then it just automatically posts it to Miiverse.
And then people have to guess. Yeah, like, that stuff's neat.
I think, as someone who has been playing it for free, and as someone who is probably in the same perspective as a lot of people who are thinking of choosing Game & Wario, I am having a good free time with it.
Yeah.
One final thing I wanted to note is, well, we have an article on NWR, me and Justin B. Berube. We basically wrote two different editorials with opposing views on the new Club Nintendo digital rewards. Justin wants physical stuff. He's a big collector. That's his shtick, really. He's the collector,
mm-hmm.
The biggest one on the website, probably. And then my point of view was digital is good because the prizes have been getting progressively worse year over year for Club Nintendo. It was the cool Mario hat the first year, then it was the cool Mario figure the second year, and then it turned into stuff like pins, and then it was a deck of playing cards or posters, and then it was posters or a Majora's Mask CD.
Yeah.
And you can tell that they're clearly cutting costs year after year as more people are joining the service, so the prizes are naturally getting a little worse and a little worse. And the cool thing about the digital is that it doesn't really cost Nintendo any money. So with this service, they can offer retail quality $40 to $60 games every single year to these people without them having a cost to themselves. So basically, it adds more value than they would have had this year otherwise, while making their cost negligible.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's the plan.
Alrighty. That'll do it for this week. Thank you for joining me, Scott.
Mm-hmm. No problem.
And that will do it. Maybe we will do some more news if Nintendo's got more news in the next few weeks. It seems like it's been pretty slow lately. Like, Nintendo usually remains quiet for a couple weeks at a time, and then they just unleash everything at once. So, maybe you can look forward to more of these segments.
Hopefully. News is good.
News is good! Thanks everybody for listening. I'll see you at some point next week or the week after. Bye.
Bye.
To this chat here on Connectivity about Tomodachi Life. It's this weird 3DS game that is taking the summer by storm because it is the only game that's being released in retail on a Nintendo system after Mario Kart. We'll talk about that a little more at the end, but for now let's focus on the fun that we're all having with Tomodachi Life. I'm Neil Ronahan, and with me to talk about this weird Sims-like Nintendo game is Curtis Bonds.
I'm living the Tomodachi life, yo.
And Zachary Miller.
I am continuing to live it as well, every
day.
Yeah,
now, Zach, let's start with you, because you did the review for the site, and you really, really enjoyed it.
Loved it.
And when we talked about this earlier in the week, you said that you put fucking 60 hours into this game?
That's kind of scary, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, because like, I just have it on all the time.
Like, are those, like, idle hours, or is it just, like, you're... always kind of fucking around
always
and tweaking
checking in.
Your characters.
Yep, always checking in.
Yeah, for people who might not know what Tomodachi Life is, it is very much like Nintendo's version of The Sims. I think Johnny Metz made the comment on a recent episode of Radio Free Nintendo in which he called it like an aquarium for your Miis, which I think is really,
accurate.
Really apt.
Yeah,
that sounds about right.
Because you kind of spend this weird setup process where you put your me into the game, and then everyone in the world refers to you, the person interacting with it, as, you know, Neil's lookalike.
Right.
And then you put more and more me's into it, and you can, you know, get QR codes that will give you fully formed Tomodachi Life characters, or you'll get these, you know, you'll be able to just put in a me or create a me, and then, you know, give it a voice, give it a personality. Have its name phonetically said the right way by the creepy robot. But it really is something. I think I've put in probably 20 to 25 hours into it. And it is something that, like, I just kind of enjoy checking in on every now and then. And you just kind of see your Miis interact with each other. You see friendships blossom. You see relationships blossom. You see them all sour.
Yeah. You see them sad.
Yeah, and you have very minimal interaction over it. It's almost kind of like, it's futile sometimes. And I don't know, Kurt, I do not know the status of your relationship in real life, but I know that Zach and I are both married. And I know that, I don't know if you were like this, Zach, but I was like shitting a brick that like my me version of my wife was going to like go get married to someone else. Because I had heard that, you know, even if you list them as your spouse, that doesn't guarantee that you'll get married.
Right.
Which I think is really fucked up.
Yeah, unfortunately, I'm still kind of living the single life myself, but,
So you're just like, man, I'm banging Samus. I'm going after Zelda.
actually, in the game, I am actually married to someone who happened to actually be an ex-girlfriend of mine.
Nice.
See, that's the kind of like fun, weird shit that happens. Like my conglomeration of people. I should probably add in some fresh faces. It's a mixture of, you know, a couple of my friends that I had their Miis on my system already. Zach's there, because I got his Tomodachi Life QR code when I first set it up.
I'd kind of like to get Lauren so that you can have a girlfriend at least.
Yeah, yeah, no, maybe I'll do that after this and put it up there for all the world to see. And then, who else was that? Oh yeah, so then a friend that I convinced to get the game, him and like his brother and sister and his girlfriend are in it. And then I have, you know, Snoop Dogg, Samus, Zelda, Ganondorf, George Washington, Daria from the MTV show Daria.
Ah, nice.
Which was just because, okay, so this might be a certain sect of people who know what the fuck Daria is.
I love Daria. I have that whole box set on DVD.
It is fantastic. So it is a fantastic cartoon show. I'm glad we're among like company here. But I was just kind of bombing around. I think there's like a mecharacters.com or something like that. That's where I got a lot of my initial batch of like randomly created Miis. And I saw a Daria one and I was like, well, that's funny. You know, I like the show. I'll throw that in there. I need another girl. And then I noticed, you know how she was really short in the game, and you know how the logo for the TV show was like her head, like at the bottom of that circle.
Right.
So they have the little like emblem for her Mii, and because she's so short, that's how it displays, which I'm like, okay,
nice.
Touche, Mii awesome. Creator, touche.
That's cool. Yeah, I didn't really put too many celebrities in my game. They're mostly friends of mine because, you know, all my friends are on Twitter and they all have the game, so it's just fun to kind of, you know, share all that stuff, with my friends and just see their reactions to just the weird stuff that goes on. I do have a few celebrities and weird characters in my game too. Like, you know, like you said, Snoop Dogg seems to be a popular choice. And
I mean, hey, smoke weed every day. he's in the plant room. He's got one of those reggae hats on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I made a very important song with him on my Kurt Dogg Gaming YouTube.
I did see that.
Yeah. So that's one of the fun things about the game, just being able to, you know, make custom lyrics and try and get around Nintendo's weird kind of censoring system.
Yeah, yeah, or even, you know, trying to get people to say the dumbest stuff whenever they're upset or they're happy.
Let's see, who else do I have? I have a friend of mine found an actually really good Mii of Mufasa from The Lion King.
Really?
Like, it was actually really impressive, like, how they managed to make that. So, yeah, he's in my game, and he's dating one of my friends. I don't know if that's really going in, like, furry territory or whatever, but I don't know. Mufasa's kind of cool. But, let's see. Who else? Snoop Dogg, Mufasa. I don't really have too many, like, big celebrities in there. If anybody, it's just mostly, like, internet celebrities, like Jim Sterling and Lotax and stuff like that.
Yeah, I've just got three of the people they put on their website.
Oh, you got Shaq.
I got Shaq and Christina Aguilera, who's going out with my friend Zach Erickson. And I got Debbie Allen. I don't even know who she is.
Yeah, I think I saw that. I didn't get any of the celebrities. I thought about it because I am at a point where I need to expand or else I think I'm going to get bored of the game. Because no one's getting married in my group. Like, I got married to Lauren. We had a child named Claire. And she's out seeing the world. So that's good. You know, it was tough.
Yeah, let's, yeah. So yeah, I'm married to, like, you know, that ex-girlfriend I had mentioned, and I have Reggie Fils-Aimé in my game, and
he's in mine too.
Is he a pimp?
I guess so. I mean, he got married to, I don't know if you know this girl on YouTube, a Nintendo fangirl.
Oh, yeah.
So they're married in my game, which is highly appropriate, I think.
I think there's an age discrepancy there, but other than that seems okay.
Yeah, well, she's an adult, so it's all good.
I'm married to my wife, and then my friend Marcus is married to his brother's real-life wife, and they had a baby. And then Nelson, Marcus's brother, is married to my brother's real-life wife.
See, this is where it gets weird.
This is
because
where it gets,
there's no way that you can kind of, like, say, like, hey, these two people are dating in real life, which I think is, I don't know if it's a flaw or just, like, a fun kind
I think it's
of
fun.
Thought experiment.
It.
Because right now I even moved my friend and his girlfriend, Billy and Anna, they went to PAX East with us.
They're not going out yet in my game.
No, they hate each other. Well, they don't hate each other. It's just like, literally, their characters are friends with everyone else on the fucking island except for each other.
That's too funny.
And it's just like these weird things like that where you're trying to, like, sometimes force these relationships, but you can't really, you don't have direct control.
No.
You can kind of, like, there was one, like, my friend just started dating Princess Leia for some reason. I don't even think I approved it, which kind of weirded me out, because it seemed like that you have some kind of, like, veto power where you're like, you know, they're like, oh, I want to go and ask this person out, and you're like, nah, man, I'm just trying to save you. Because I have poor Ganondorf just keeps on getting stood up.
Yeah, there's been a few instances where I didn't even expect, you know, a couple to get together. Like, I had someone try and confess their love to someone else, and, someone else actually came in and did that whole wait thing.
Oh, that happened to me too.
I still haven't seen that. I really wanted to see that. I mean, then you have, like, the dumb shit where, like, it's like, oh, someone wants to meet me on the roof. And then you go up there and it's like someone wearing this dumb fake mustache, and they're just like, I don't know, like, I'm trying to think of an example.
Some random
just like,
shit.
Don't look under your bed. Like, it's like weird shit like that. That, like, means nothing.
I come up here when I need to fart.
Yeah. Like, it's just, like, this real, it's just, everything's like that. Everything's so weird.
And you know what, that's what I love about the game, really.
Yeah,
it's
that's why
so
I keep on going
bizarre.
Back to it. And it's not, like, people kind of compare it to Animal Crossing, but, like, it just, outside of the fact that, like, there is an island in Animal Crossing, and there are people, that's really where the comparisons begin and end.
Yeah. You're not collecting anything.
Yeah, like, it just kind of, like, you know, I check the shops every day, not because I'm like, oh, I want to try to complete this furniture set. I'm checking them because I'm like, is there a dumb hat I can put on my friend?
Right. I buy one of new everything because once somebody gets to level 20, then you can just give them things you've bought.
Oh.
Oh, it's
oh,
no,
wow.
None of your characters is level 20?
No, I think Lauren and I are my two highest ones, and I think they're at, like, 18.
Dude, I've got a level 40 and a level 36.
Good grief.
I know, it's a sickness.
60 hours, Zach. 60, that's almost three times as much time as I put into the game.
Look, let me tell you, when you get to the 60-hour mark, a lot of the dumb shit starts to get repetitious and old. Like...
But you could say that about literally any game.
I know, but it's like, I don't want to tickle your damn nose, sneeze your goddamn self, or the
you
football
know what I hate?
Game,
I hate,
which
yeah,
I hate
like,
the football
I,
game.
I stopped playing games with people.
I did too, I've stopped.
Like, I'll see that, I'll be like, no, you can go fuck yourself. Like,
right.
Like, if you're hungry, I'll try to find your, like, you know, super awesome all-time favorite food. But if you want to play a game, you can jerk off. I don't care.
I've actually started making a metagame out of the food because it keeps track of what food everybody's eaten.
Yeah.
So I'm just trying to feed everybody something different. And
finding
everybody's worst foods and best foods. And
yeah, Lauren hates fudge for some reason. And I have a friend of mine who is so far the only all-time favorite food that I've stumbled upon is my friend just loving the shit out of olives. So I just have this reserve of olives for whenever I'm showing it to someone new. And I'm just like, look at this ridiculous stuff.
Nice.
Yeah, I think the only all-time favorite food I've discovered was a friend of mine just really loving s'mores, which seems kind of like, obvious. Like, yeah, s'mores are really damn good, so I'm not really surprised there. But olives, that sounds like an interesting thing to, you know, be an all-time favorite.
I know, like, I have an in-real-life niece who just loves olives.
I like trying to find apartments that match the person.
Yeah.
Like, Johnny's in a space station.
Well, no shit. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's like Snoop Dogg's in the plant room.
Yep. You're in an arcade.
That works.
Yep. I'm in the dinosaur room, of course.
My friend was living in the shack that just has, like, the washing machine that's drawn on the wall.
Yeah, cardboard walls.
Because he still lives at home. No.
finding all that stuff is cool. I mean, thankfully there is, like, a lot of stuff to, you know, still buy even after all this time, even though it does kind of get repetitive, like some of these conversations that they have and some of the games and stuff. You know, I actually wouldn't mind if they came out with like a DLC pack or something that just added more conversations and just weird stuff. I think that would be...
just the ability to turn off some of the stupid shit that you don't want people to do anymore.
Yeah. And I guess like you can kind of ignore it.
It's this weird, I have this bizarre
completionist
feeling.
Mentality where you need to do everything when they have it.
Well,
out, no, right?
It's not even that. It's like I feel responsible for these virtual people. Like,
yeah,
you know, at
that's
a certain,
how they get you,
know,
you, man.
I know somebody's like, hey, I think, you know, Bob, like, I'd like to go meet Bob. What do you think we should talk about? And rather than saying, fuck you, I'm going to go feed Neil. I'm like, I think you should talk about hobbies, and then I'll watch the little cutscene.
You know
maybe
what, man?
It doesn't work out.
I think
out.
Ganondorf, I think he'd really like to talk about something serious. and Zelda, maybe she's a gossip girl.
You know what option never works? Money.
Yeah.
Money that's worked a couple times if I'm
really?
Like trying to set up a friendship with like Reggie or somebody. That usually works.
Well, yeah.
Nice.
He's a businessman.
Yeah.
I like some of the ridiculous costumes. Like, there's a dinosaur suit. I put Marcus in that. He looked like a troll.
Yeah, I have a friend who's he was in a mermaid outfit for a while.
You're in a Napoleonic outfit right now.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I had Lauren was wearing a fried prawn hat for a long time.
Oh
she
yeah,
just thought looked like an afro.
there's an ice cream hat.
Yeah, I have that. I have that as well.
Nice.
And right now, Princess Leia has blue hair because she wanted to dye her hair. And who was I to neglect the princess? Yes.
Dude, for the longest time, I couldn't figure out how to get that hair color out. And then I read online just randomly, like, just have them take a bath. Oh, all right. That makes sense, but I wouldn't have thought of it.
Yeah.
That's like, I mean, and those are the kind of moments that, like, that's why I like playing this game, because every now and then you'll just discover that thing that's so goofy or silly, but it just, you know, it works. It makes sense. It doesn't break the logic of the game.
Yeah, it can get kind of awkward, though, if, like, you know, having real-life friends, like, especially girls. Like, when I like, gave a girlfriend of mine the bath kit, like, that was kind of awkward to see, because I didn't know if that was, like, gonna, like, automatically end, so I was just kind of sitting there watching her take a bath. It's just like, I feel like a creep right now.
Dude, I gave a bath set to me and my wife's daughter, who lives in the apartment building with us, and I was like, this is wrong. But... and then Johnny wanted to go out with her, but they didn't even know each other. And I was like, dude, no, it's too soon, and he got all sad.
Oh, you jerk.
Now he's going after Jared's daughter.
Jesus.
See, I have the worry right now that, cause I got, you know, I guess my friend/friend of the site, Billy Brown, him, his girlfriend, his brother, and his sister. So I'm just waiting for that disaster scenario where him or his brother ask out his sister. And it's one of those things that I'm like, if it comes up, I don't think I'm gonna stop it. I'm just gonna see how fucked up this can get.
Yes.
What the hell kind of game did Nintendo make? Yeah. Jeez.
Marcus's fiance Courtney married Jared, and Courtney's pissed off about it because she's like, I don't need no man. Yeah, it's a fun game, but after 60 hours, it starts to wear a little thin on you.
Yeah.
But I still love it. That's the weird thing. I still play it all the time.
And the thing that I like about it a lot is that you can kind of just like put it down for a week and then pick it back up, and it's like you never left.
Yeah, that's probably true. I should do that.
Cause that's that's kind of what happened to me. I mean, well, it came out, I played it a lot that first weekend, but then it was E3. So I didn't touch it
right.
for the entire, I think I touched it like once during E3 to clear out street passes. And that was kind of it.
Passes really only work if you have kids in the game, right? Who you've sent off.
Okay, so I guess I don't know if you guys have experienced street passes, but even still, I doubt a lot of the listeners have with this game, and I had the luck of going to a video game convention and E3. So when, like, the basic street pass is you just, like, get, like, the special import item that you set that at some point. And then I think you might be able to change it. I've never gone into it. I'm giving out fried prawn hats for anyone who street passes me. So that's what you just exchange that. And I think like 10 people can be there at once. And my child is out exploring the world. I have not seen her come back around.
Glenn's come back several times. He comes back and eats a lot of food and sleeps and then goes away.
Have you street passed anyone?
I think I have, because I get, postcards from him. It says, oh, I visited, you know, some other island and I met these people and here's a photo of me and him and bye. Sometimes he'll include something, but it's not very often.
Cause I had that where, my friend, I street passed him and his child came and visited my town.
See, that hasn't happened to me.
He was like camping out and like I talked to him and then like he took a bath in like a barrel or something.
Nice.
Then he left, and I think I fed him.
See, maybe the people I street passed with haven't had kids yet.
Yeah, that could be it. It doesn't, I mean, the kid thing is almost, it's like a crapshoot sometimes.
Yeah, it is.
Because
the game doesn't really explain anything.
Yeah, sometimes like, it just goes.
Yeah. Which is fine.
Yeah.
I mean, there's not a whole lot to figure out.
Yeah, I still haven't gotten to that kid part yet. Me and the ex-girlfriend that I'm married to in the game, my me was suggesting them having a kid, and I just said no. So yeah, I've avoided that so far.
Yeah, all of the married couples in my game have had at least one kid, usually two, and I just at some point turned off babies. I was like, I'm had enough of these babies.
That sounds like you in real life, Zach.
Dude, you gotta take care of the goddamn babies.
Yeah, well, it was funny because I failed at, like, rocking the baby when I was doing it. I think I was, like, playing it on, like, a train or something, so it was just a pain in the ass.
Were the parents like, don't shake the baby?
Yeah. don't shake the baby.
Cause they do say that.
Yeah. But I did notice when Lauren and I had a kid that, like, she was out hanging out with other people in the apartment complex and, like, I'm just at our house taking care of the baby. Like, I'm sleeping on the bed, passed out. Baby's in the crib. Lauren's out hanging out with Samus.
Yep.
But I think Samus and George Washington are going to get married soon. So.
All right. Cool.
It should be pretty cool. I think they'll have some good, strong children that can cut down a cherry tree and give a mean thumbs down to a man.
Yep. thumbs down to the British.
That would be, I mean, can we just make a Metroid game that takes place during the Revolutionary War?
It can be Project Steam with Metroid.
Yeah, let's just make, yeah, an Assassin's Creed game, but instead of playing as an assassin, you just play as Samus Aran through the ages.
No, why not?
Samus Aran, guess what? She's hanging out with Marie Antoinette.
Bounty Hunter's Creed. Ugh, it's got a woman in it.
Yeah, that would take too many years to animate.
Yeah, this game must have taken a long time, because, yeah, my game has a lot of girls in it, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's so hard to animate those women.
Jesus.
I know, all the Hyrule Warrior characters except Link seem to be women, which is bizarre.
Just quick sojourn to Hyrule Warriors. I kind of love
every day.
The character selection in that game is just, like, the most fantastic, stupid thing, and it's not, like, I'm not saying, oh, it's got all these women, it's dumb, but it's like, Agatha? The fucking bug girl from Twilight Princess, like, right. Seriously? And I don't know if you guys watched the trailer showing her attacks.
No.
But it's just, like, the goofiest shit in the world, and I can't wait.
Yeah, I'm absolutely looking forward to that. Like, I don't really play Dynasty Warriors games, but I figure, you know what, if they're gonna make a Zelda-style Dynasty Warriors game, they might as well go big or go home.
And they are. Yeah. At least everything that we're seeing is they're like, it's the most fan service-y game they could have made.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, and I don't really mind that. I know, and there's like, I've seen a few people, like, you know, kind of rag on it as just, and being like, oh, well, it's a Dynasty Warriors game with a Zelda skin. People are being fooled. This isn't going to be very good. It's just like, I don't think anybody's going to expect this to be,
yeah,
like, revolutionizing the kind of slash-em-up genre or anything like that. It's just, it's going to be a fun slash-em-up with Zelda characters in it. It's just like, I don't know if anyone's going to be expecting much more out of it.
Like, there are a lot of games that I just kind of play as almost like comfort food to an extent.
Yeah, and this will be one of
that's
them.
That's what it sounds like to me.
Yeah, this just sounds, it just seems like a good-ass cheeseburger.
Yeah, this is like, you know, playing a Mega Man game that I've already played before.
And hey, it's going to be better than Twilight Princess. Ew.
Oh, just rolling out the controversy today.
Won't be as good as Link's crossbow training, though, right?
Here come the emails.
I've been meaning to go back and try Twilight Princess again. I think I've said that like 8 times since
you
this
have.
Podcast
yeah,
has
me
started.
Too.
Quite often.
Like I had stopped playing that game, but it's not because I didn't like it, but at the time it just felt like too big of an undertaking.
It felt like work.
It comes down to it in that, and this has been talked about a lot, and I've probably talked about it on the show as well, it's those 3 fucking days that you spend in the beginning in that town.
Yup.
And yeah, it was that something that I forget the direct quote or exactly where it was, but it was supposed to be one day, and then Miyamoto said make it 3 because it was a launch game on the Wii, and, you know, they were going for a broader market.
People need to know how to slash that sword.
To an extent, when you think about in the context of they were hoping that people would buy a Wii for Wii Sports and then play Twilight Princess, it makes sense to have that very slow, measured opening.
So what's Skyward Sword's excuse?
Well, fuck you, I think Skyward Sword's excuse. But Twilight Princess, it's really, once you get past those first 3 days, and I think that opening tempo is a little bit of a slog too, but once you get past that, then I think it's really solid. It's just that it takes so long to get out of that opening area.
Yeah, I mean, I had a good time playing it, but yeah, it's just, like, at the time, I just could not handle something on that scale, because it just started feeling too big for me. But I'm gonna go back to it one of these days, cause, you know, I enjoyed my time with it, and yeah, I wanna give it a proper chance.
I have a bizarre desire to get it on the GameCube. Is that weird?
Me too. I actually, I put an eBay bid. I was looking at, I basically spent like a week every now and then watching some Twilight Princess auctions, but they all got really expensive really fast.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, maybe I'll be able to get this for, like, $20-25, and I'd be, like, you know, bidding on it, and there'd be, like, a couple hours left, and I'll be like, maybe I'll get it for, like, $23, including shipping, and then it would, like, go up to $35 really quickly, and I'll be like, well, that was fun, because I can't justify spending, like, $40 on a game that I literally own for another platform. And it's not even like, oh, it's an HD version. No, it's technically the inferior version.
Yeah,
now we're not even talking about Tomodachi Life. I don't think it's a big issue. I hope you listeners aren't really that annoyed. But Hyrule Warriors looks really fun.
Hell yeah.
That's what the bottom line is. And
the bottom line of this Tomodachi Life discussion is Hyrule Warriors looks cool.
Well, I mean,
super excited about
Hyrule Warriors is the next fucking retail release to come out. So,
oh my god,
get hyped, guys. Yeah, I did say we'd talk about that in the beginning. Tomodachi Life, it came out on June 6th. We're now, it's a month after it came out. The next 3DS retail release is a month and a half away.
Oh my god.
That's Professor Layton versus Phoenix Wright. And then the next Wii U release from now is Hyrule Warriors.
Excuse me, you're wrong. On the 31st, there's going to be Scooby-Doo and Looney Tunes Cartoon Universe Adventure. I think you're forgetting what is quite possibly Game of the Year.
Is Taurus Games developing that? Because hold the phone, that game might not be bad.
When worlds collide here.
That's developed by WayForward.
Oh.
What?
Yeah, I just went on GameFAQs. I just went on GameFAQs.
So 3DS game or Wii U?
It's 3DS. Yeah, I just looked it up on GameFAQs, look at upcoming releases, and yeah.
I'll take that review copy, Neil.
I didn't even know about that. What the hell?
You know what I'm kind of pissed off about is that...
Probably.
To go on another little tangent before I should go, WayForward announced a release date for a director's cut of a Steam version of Shantae 2, and they still haven't given us an actual release date for Shantae 3. Come on, guys.
Well, they're also working on Shantae 4, so...
Oh, for love of God. Just one at a time, guys. Come on.
Yeah, well, Zach, as we stumbled upon, I think, what was it, the Shovel Knight podcast? That's our fault.
It's our fault, yeah.
Yeah, because they were like, well, do you want to have a sequel to the second one or just like a new HD version? We're like, why not both? That's what they did.
All right.
Yeah, Tomodachi Life is really neat.
It is. Just don't play it for 60 hours.
I'm going to probably be keeping on playing it throughout, like, the next couple months. Probably, I mean, definitely slow down, but I think I'll play it longer. Maybe not as much as I played Animal Crossing, because I still put, like, 50 hours into Animal Crossing, but that was really front-loaded.
Wow. Yeah.
But I think I'll probably play it longer than that, because I don't need to check in on it every day.
I should adopt that philosophy.
So any final thoughts on Tomodachi Life?
I think it's a really good game. I just wish there were more varied interactions with a lot of the Miis and things like that, because yeah, it just kind of gets repetitive just hearing the same kind of quirky things over and over.
Yeah, exact same feelings as Kurt.
Yeah, so maybe someday they'll come out with like Tomodachi World on like Wii U, and they'll just, you know, keep updating that, hopefully.
And it'll be an MMO.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah.
Where you can live in an island. Well, you can work on an island with a couple other people. That'd be kind of
cool. Oh, that'd be cool. Yeah, that'd be nice.
It'll be a spiritual successor to the smash mega hit The Sims Online.
Yeah.
That's right. That was a thing.
Or just didn't they charge like a monthly fee for that game?
I believe they did.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus Christ.
I forgot that even existed.
Didn't exist long.
Yeah, not at all.
It did not last long at all. All right, well, that's Tomodachi Life. Thank you for listening. If you have any questions, feel free to email us at connectivity@nintendoworldreport.com. Doesn't need to be about Tomodachi Life. It can be about whatever you want.
Yes.
You can also talk to the three of us on Twitter. I am at Enron10. Zach is at ZMiller1902. And Kurt, you're at Curtis Bonds, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah, and Zach and I are going to try to keep on doing these kind of Game of the Week segments each week.
Yeah.
So I guess let us know your feedback if you like this kind of style. We're going to try something a little weirder next week, I think, in which we talk about an old Wii game that had a Vita re-release. We're going to be talking about Muramasa Rebirth and Muramasa the Demon Blade. Yes. Probably talking about that game on Wii and also a little bit about the remake.
Very nice.
Try to see if that works.
Yeah.
And also, if you want to play some Kid Icarus Uprising, I think we are going to revisit that in the near future.
Yes.
Yeah,
so keep an
fun.
Eye on my Twitter. I'll probably post stuff on the NWR Twitter if we are going to play online. But I do plan on playing some Kid Icarus Uprising online. I was playing some local multiplayer at a gaming convention that I went to a couple weeks ago, so I want to play more.
Me too.
So
I'll be in on that. Yeah.
Hell
sure.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Thanks for listening. Bye.
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 All right, that will do for episode 142 of Connectivity. As always, you can send your listener mail to connectivity@nintendoworldreport.com, and we are doing a listener mail segment next week, so send in that mail. You should also rate and review us on iTunes if you haven't done that yet, and be sure to follow all of us on Twitter. Go to nintendoworldreport.com, look for the Twitter sidebar on the right-hand side of the page, and find all of our usernames there. Thanks for listening, and we will see you next week.